All right, so we're picking up over here in Ayin Amud Beis, Bava Kama. Gonav u'mochar b'Shabbos, so the Mishnah says, Yechayev dal veh. And the Rashi on the Mishnah says, but if it was gonav v'tovach, then it would be komle b'drab mine. So that's the principle. That's the principle that... that we're going to be employing over here. So what is the basic what's the basic rule? Kom le b'derab mine. I mean, just in the very, very basics. What does it mean? What is the what's the translation? What's the basic idea? That what? Right. You'll impose upon him the stricter punishment. So whenever a person is subject to two penalties, or more, I guess, possible, only the most severe is administered, and he's pater from the other one. Right? That's the basic rule. So were a person to be chayev simultaneously mamon and misa, or even mamon and malchus, right? He would receive the stricter punishment, and not, and he'd be pater from the tashlumin, right? What's that? We're not going into the derivation of that. We're just taking that as a given. But so now the Gemara is trying to understand in the case of gonav u'mochar b'Shabbos. Why is he potter? Why is he chayav dalvei? Why isn't there a situation of kom levid rav minei? Or let's look at Gemara. Gemara starts off with a brisa. The brisa says he is potter. So now Gemara is trying to figure out what's the case. Is gonav v'tovach is pashut? Why is kom levid rav minei? Because the shechita is a malacha. Exactly what the malacha is a good question, but shechita is a malacha, right? But selling is not a malacha. That's a davar pashut. Mechir on Shabbos is mutter. It's a asa b'drabanan. So how could it be that two problems? The brisa, first of all, there's a brisa that says he's potter, meaning he'd be chayev of misa, so there'd be a malacha involved. So what would that even be? And the second problem is it contradicts our Mishnah. Okay, so let's take the Gemara. Go ahead. Vatanya Potter. Okay, so Rami Bar Chama says that when does the Braisa say you're Potter? What's the case of Potter? It's where he says to the person, so who's saying to who over here? So the purchaser, right, says to the ganav, pick a fig from my fig tree, right? And when you pick the fig, that will be payment for the geneva that you have. So in other words, I'm going to buy the geneva that you have with my fig. I'll trade you a fig for a geneva. Now, the only thing is, you have to go and pick the fig off the tree. So, therefore, it's going to be when you pick the fig, you'll be simultaneously be doing a malacha of kotzer and mechira. So, that will be the case where you'll have simultaneously the mechira and the malacha. Okay, let's see Rashi. Okay. So Rashi says, pick a fig from my tree, and worth the value of the geneva itself, and it's Shabbos, and he did it, so now it'd be Chayav Misa. Yeah. Rashi uses the words domim. Right. He's trying to avoid the Tos's problem, apparently. Okay. The Gemara raises the problem. It says, how can this be a case where he's potter the tashlumen? That would mean to say, really, he did the chi. He really did the ma'isav. He really did the mechira, but he doesn't get the he doesn't pay the tashlumen because of kol malei b'rav minei. But is there really a mechira here?
Which would knock off kol malei b'rav minei?
Which wouldn't make it shayach. No, he's definitely going to be chayav misa. There's no question about that. But is it really a case where his chi of dalad v'hei and misa are simultaneous? Right. Or is it just there's no chi of dalad v'hei at all in this case? Can we really find a case where there's a chi of dalad v'hei and via mechira and a malacha simultaneously? Or does this really just represent a malacha without a mechira? Your case, Rami Bar Chama's case. So what's his problem? Why is he saying it really doesn't satisfy the requirements of what we're looking for? He says, "Vahai tovale bal hateina lilokate." So in other words, the so to speak buyer over here, right? Let's say, as often happens when you deal with thieves, they don't keep their word. So you tell the guy, I'll buy that object that you have, right? Whether I know it's stolen or not, I'll buy that object that you have with my te'ena, correct? Everyone got the case? So you go pick the te'ena, and then the object will be mine. So the guy goes and he picks the te'ena, and he doesn't give up the object, right? He won't give up the object. So now, what's the din? So what? So the guy, the Taina owner, will go to Basin and say, he owes me my fig back or the object back. He should give me something, right? What will Basin tell him? Basin will tell him tough luck. Why will they tell him tough luck? Since he did a maisa of malacha, right? So he's chayav misa for what he did. Therefore, he doesn't have to pay you. So if he doesn't pay you, how can there be any mechira? So Rashi continues, what will he claim in Basin? He'll say, give me back the te'enim that you collected, that you picked, or the object I bought from you. We don't tell the ganav, go and pay him. Yeah. So you see, we will not force the ganav to pay. So therefore, there's no mechira. In other words, Basin will not enforce the sale.
Enforce the sale because the sale is not even a sale potential.
In other words, Basin represents the realities of Dine Mominus. So if in the world of Dine Mominus there was a mechira over here, so then Basin would force him to either give back the money, apparently, Rashi saying, or deliver the goods, right? If I go to the store and I pay with money, and then you don't ever deliver my product, so what would be the Basin? I'd go to Basin, and Basin would say, "Okay, you did a maisa mechira, you're chayav to complete the sale. Give him the object that you bought."
Can you give back the money?
So that's a question. We hold mo'os. We hold, truthfully, we hold mo'os einon konos. You can back out. You can null. You can be chozer if you paid the money. But as long as you're not chozer, it's a good mechira. So you consider it to be a despicable person if you're chozer after you paid the money. But technically speaking, it's you're allowed to back out.
What would that mean if you're chozer after you pay the money?
It was a machlokus whether mo'os are konos or mashicha is konos. was what actually clinches the shame bilis from the seller to the buyer. So we hold it's machlokas Riochan and Reish Lakish if it's Doraisa or Drabonon, but we hold midoraisa maos konos midrabonon they pushed it over to the Mashiach. For the problem, for the fact that if I pay you money, and it's mine when I pay you the money, we're worried you're not gonna take care of it while you're holding it, and then it'll get destroyed, and you'll say, "Well, sorry, that was yours. Your object got destroyed. Too bad." And he wasn't really a shomer. Whatever it is, there's certain problems of leaving. Many people do business that way, that they pay the money and they don't get the goods delivered until a later time. So there are practical reasons that we don't want to have the money be kona. So technically speaking, it's called a misha pora. The Beis Din reads him a curse. They curse him, basically. They say, misha pora, whoever, meaning God, who visited punishment, and they give a whole list of people who were punished in the Torah, should punish you. But basically, you're medine momentous. You can back out. But anyway...
You have to back the money.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay, can you be like a mocker?
But anyway, the point is that what? That this guy has no monetary obligation towards him.
He wouldn't have to give back the figs?
No. Doesn't even have to give back the figs. Because he took the figs with a maisa malacha.
It's pretty frustrating to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll teach him to do business on Shabbos. So it's our mission is a case where a guy sold it with money, let's say. Right? Gonav u'mochar b'Shabbos. So the mechira was good. But there's no malach involved.
Right.
So that's why he's going to be chayav dal v'hei. We're looking for a case where he did a mechira that involves malacha, so that when the mechira takes place, he'll be chayav midine Shabbos, and therefore, even though there was a mechira, he won't pay the dal v'hei. He'll be putter from the knas of dal v'hei because it is lesser than the chiyav misa of the same misa. But it means to say two things happened with one misa: a malacha and a mechira. The only problem is like this, the Gemara is saying, if you're going to use the money, if you're going to use the payment of the money with the malacha, then the malacha is going to negate that money from any type of hischaivus. In other words, what's a mechira? A mechira means to say, I take your object, and now I have an obligation to you. I have a corresponding obligation to you, right? It's your money in my... I give you money. So now you have an achrayus to me because of that money. You can... And the mechira is basically saying, I'll give you my object, and in exchange for that object, you'll return to me your object. But it means to say, the money that I give you must exist in your hands with a responsibility back to me. I can satisfy the responsibility. That's the das makna. The das makna is, I'll satisfy the responsibility I owe to you with my object. In other words, you have to understand there's two things over here, right? How does the mechira work? Let's just understand the basic idea of the mechira. Basic idea of the mechira is, we have... Gemiras Das, right? We both agree to a certain exchange. I say, I have an object, you have peros, right? You have money, I have an object. Let's just take the simplest case. And you want the object and I want your money. So the way it works is very simple. I say like this, if you'll give me your money, right? That will, in a certain sense, create an obligation of me to you because I have something of yours now. And I will satisfy that obligation to you with the mesira of my object. So effectively, we're switching the money for the object. How? But it's only because the money comes into my hands with a certain achrayas to you that I can satisfy with the object. You understand? So the whole idea of a mechira is going to be predicated on the fact that the giving of the money to the seller is received, the money is received with a certain, in a state of responsibility, an obligation, a momentous obligation, which will be satisfied with the money, with the object. That's why before I return the object, Beis Din will say, well, either give back the money or satisfy that obligation that you have. Those are your choices, because you received the money with a certain hischaivus, right? You can either, you have to therefore either give back the money or satisfy that hischaivus. But if you don't receive the money with any responsibility, that's a matana, right? If I give you a matana, you can't say it's a mechira. Why? Because when you got that money, you had no obligation to do anything with it. Now, if I'm a guy, if I pick somebody's fruit on Shabbos, so since it's an Isser Deraisa of Malacha, I have no chi of Tashlum to him at all. So if I receive that te'ena with no chi of Tashlumen, it's impossible to have a mechira. It's ki'ilu, I got it b'matana. Right? That's the problem. So the Gemara rejects this possibility as the case for now. For now, the Gemara says, okay, this can't be the case of the Braisa. Ryan Bar Chama tried. But the Gemara is saying it won't work out.
Meaning because there's no Havamina that you would be Chayav Dalavahed.
Because there's no Maisa Mechira.
Right.
Because there's no Maisa Mechira, correct. For right now, the Gemara basically concludes. For right now, the Gemara rejects Rambam Chama. You'll see in the end, the Gemara brings back these possibilities. But right now, the Gemara is saying it's impossible to have a Mechira of Mamon in the situation of Kimle Bidramine, because by definition, it's going to negate the responsibility of the Mesiras Mamon, which the sale is satisfying. So you simply can't get started? Okay. Yeah. So Rav Papa says it must be a case where there's not a... where the Mechira is not... where the Malacha is not involved in the Mesiras Ma'os of the Kenyan. It's in the delivery of the object. So throw it into my yard on Shabbos, v'ani etin l'cha ma'os, v'chein asa, k'an elokeach, v'zen eschayev misa. So I give you the money, you throw it into my field, right? So you're saying the kinyan will be chal when you throw it into my field. That'll be the chalos of the kinyan. And at that moment, it'll simultaneously be hotza, or achnasa. So the chalos of the kinyan will coincide with the malacha of Hotza. But the obligation is beforehand. The momentous is beforehand. Okay. All right, let's take a look at those. Tosfos is bothered. He says, Vim Toma. Right? Vehechi Dami. How's it going to work out? E de kaima geneva bechatzero shelokeach b'sha'asa kitzo. So where is the stolen object? Is it already in the field of the lokeach when the ganav picks off the teina?
Which stolen object? The animal?
The animal. Right, where is the animal? Where is the shore? Is it standing in the buyer's field when the ganav picks the teina? Says if it is, then what does the Gemara mean when it says my parachal of a chevan di kotov ale mechira nami lo havi mechira nei the mechayev benafsho mikol mokom konyele chatzero lilokeach. Interesting. So that's interesting tosis. So why would that work? If he told him, pick the fruit, pick my fig, and be makna to me the shore. So Tosfos is saying, if the shore was in the field of the, it was in the chotzer of the lokeach, then even though the mamonis wouldn't be mocked, wouldn't be kona a kinyan of mamon, but it would be a kinyan chatzer. In other words, there are different ways to be kona metaltlin. Right? You could be kona metaltlin via kesef. You could be kona metaltlin via chotzer. Like the Gemara is going to say in the next case. So this would be like a king in chotzer. It's interesting though, even though he's not exchanging any money, right? He's still not exchanging any money.
You think because the animal is there?
Because the animal is there, that would be a mechanism of kinyan.
But he needs to pull the...
Well, apparently that would be the tanai of the kinyan.
Tanai, is that a transaction?
No, the transaction would be the kinyan chatzar. He's saying, when you take the fig off of my tree...
My chatzar will be koner.
Then my chatzar will be koner.
It's
interesting. I mean, Tosa would seem to think that would be a problem of that would be a case.
Yeah.
So
even though it's different things, even though it's different things, right?
So Akimli
Rabmine. Tosus is working on the. He's not. I don't think it would be a Akimli Rabmine case, because the kinyan is the chotzer, and there's no malacha involved in that, right? But he's just saying it wouldn't be. You couldn't say accurately that if you took him to Beis Din wouldn't make him give the cow. If the cow is in the guy's yard when he said, pick the fruit. Because then you'd have it available. Apparently Tosus is saying that you can say if a guy is das mechira, his das will be for whatever maisa mechira will be effective for him. So even though the king in Moos isn't effective, but part of the das of the mechira is that it should be in his chotzer as a baal. So memeil it will be a king in chotzer. You don't have to... Apparently, Tosus holds you don't have to enumerate the specific Maisa Kinyan. As long as it's in the guy's field, right, when he does the Maisa Kinyan Kesef, even if that Kinyan Kesef were to fail for some reason, the Mechir would still be good.
Right, Beis Din could still come in and enforce it, essentially.
Beis Din would still enforce it. Because the Ganav, basically, the buyer got his money, and that was the condition of the sale. And although it's not going to be a king in Kesef, technically speaking, it'll be still be a king in Chotzer. The king will happen through the Chotzer. So then how could the Gemara say that the kitova le kamon bedina lo amrina le zil sholem? Right? You would tell him to pay. So it can't be that the animal is in the field. Not because it would be a Kimle B'Rabine case, but because Beis Din wouldn't be able to tell him it's not your animal. That's what he's picking up on. Right? My porach alav v'kevan di kor tov alei. Mechira nami lo havi. Mechira nei de mechaya b'nafsho. I'm sorry. Nami lo. Havi mechira, nami lo mechira. Nei, the mechayev nafshu mekom mekom. Kanyu lechatzer al lokeach. Right. How do you break that up? No, that's the end of the quote. Mechira, nami lo mechira. So now he's saying nei, the mechayev nafshu mekom mekom. Kanyu lechatzer al lokeach.
Right, because his.
He's just saying technically speaking, you can't say that because of the chi of misa, it won't be a mechira if the mechira is via chatzer. It's just not an argument. It's just not true. That's only if the mechira is via the money. But if the object is in his field, then the mechira will be via the chatzer. Also, even though the money isn't a good mechira. But the chatzah will be a good mechira. So the Gemara is not accurate when it says that since it's not a good mechira, that's not a good mechira. Since the money is not obligatory to return. No, it's true, he'd be chayav b'nafsho, but it would still be a good king in chatzah. So that can't be the case. Just trying to show you that can't be the case. So it must be that it's not in the chatzah of lokeach. That's his point. He's trying to move it out of the chatzar lokeach. Okay, so then what's the problem? So then, if it's not in the chatzar lokeach, dalchi of Shabbos, mehachala mechiri. So then even if you remove the whole inyan of Shabbos, it's still not a mechira. The hakayim alon kerev Nachman, the omar, peros lo avdi chalipin. So he has a problem both ways.
What does it mean exactly?
He has a problem both ways. If the shor is in the chotzer of the lokeach, then the Gemara is not true when it says that since it's a kimli b'rabbi name, there's no money, the mechir is no good, because you have the mechir of the chotzer, you have the kinyan of the chotzer itself. And if the object is outside of the chotzer, he's saying, then what would the kinyan be? He's saying it would be a kinyan of chalipin. And we hold you can't do chalipin with peros.
On the first side,
you won't have that. In other words, in kinyonim, you have to look at two things. You have to look at what the gemiras das is on, and what's the technical mice of the kinyan. Right? So, if I give you money, in the first case, it would be that the peros is like the is what the gemiras das is based upon. I'm willing to give it to you because of the peros you're giving me. But where is the technical maisa kinyan? That can be supplied through the chotzer. But if it's not in my chotzer, then the maisa kinyan has to be the chalipin itself. Right? He's saying, but that's not a good chalipin. That's not a good maisa kinyan. Maisa kinyan of chalipin has to be done with a kli, not with a pri, according to the way we hold. Okay? So, yeah. But apparently Tosfos is learning this whole case is chalipin. Not like Rashi. All right, so anyway, so let's understand a little bit about the kinyan of chalipin. Yeah. Tosfos envisioned it, the case was he was doing kinyan chalipin and malacha. The only thing is, he said, and then the Gemara is saying it's not good because of kimli v'rami. The only thing is, Tosfos is saying it's not good because that's not a valid ma'aseh chalipin.
Right.
Even not on Shabbos wouldn't be a good kinyan. Right, it was the value. What's good about a kinyan chalipin is that no matter where the object is, once the buyer receives the object from once the seller receives the object from the buyer, no matter where the object is, it belongs to the buyer. It's like a zeh tachas zeh. So when the seller receives the object that is being used to for the exchange, it automatically goes into the buyer's rishus, no matter where the object is. Okay, that would remove the chotzer problem. Right. Apparently, Tosfos is bothered that if it's damim, it would have to be in the chotzer, because damim is not really kona. You still need the baal to take it. But chalipin is different. Chalipin doesn't require the object to be in the rishus of the baal, of the buyer. Just the chalipin itself is the kinyan. Okay, so this opens up the question of what exactly is chalipin and how is it different than other kinyanim. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a quick foray into that topic. Okay, so the Gemara takes it up in on Mem, Zion, and Bav Metziah is where we're going to take a look. So let's just get a basic idea of here. So the basic point is that one of the features of Kinyan, unique features of Chalipin is that the object you use doesn't have to be worth a Shavah Pruta. Okay, so that's how we essentially distinguish it from Kinyan Kesef. Kesef means Kesef means that there's a certain monetary value, right? And we can sort of assign a number to the object, and I'll buy it with the damim of that object, basically. But if something has less than a shavah pruta, it has no damim. Okay. But the kinyan of chalipin is conceptually different. It's what we say, we're using the what we consider like the utility of the object, right? And an object might be worth less than a shavaputa in terms of damim, but that doesn't mean it's a useless object. All right, let's see. Let's see what's going on over here. It's a little bit strange. So let's see what's going on. So there's a strange machlokas over here that wouldn't be even possible as a question in other kinyanim. The Gemara asks, Bameh konin, right? With what do you make the kinyan? Yeah. So where do we see the kinyan of chalipin from? That's from Rus, right? V'zos lefnim b'Yisrael gula v'al temura l'kayem kol dovar sholaf ish nalo v'noson l're'eyu. So that was the way it was done in the old days, from before in Israel. It was already an established kinyan in the time of Rus, that any time you'd want to be makayim something, right? That's the Gemara Darshan later. Agu ula val tamura lekayim kol davar. You want to make something permanent. You want to express a certain something is being fulfilled. What would they do? Sholaf ish na'alo v'nosan l're'eyu. Person would take off his shoe and give it to his friend. Okay? Take off his shoe and give it to his friend. Okay? Yeah. Now, you have to be aware that we hold, basically, the guy who receives the shoe can't really keep it. The whole thing is more of a ceremonial maisa, and it's a question. It's a question if the guy is allowed to keep it or not allowed to keep it. But we basically hold no. The whole das is I'm giving it to you, just in order to make the deal done, to clinch the deal. That's essentially why I'm giving it to you, and therefore it must be returned. It's like a matana manas lach, so you have to give it back.
How is that like?
Huh? Yeah. So we'll see. So now the Gemara really wants to know. The Gemara says, whose shoe is it? Okay, Bekelev shel kona. So Rav says, Bekelev shel kona. Denichale lekona, de lahavi makna kona. Yeah, so that's a bit of a complicated expression, right? But Rav says what? It's the object of the one who's kona.
The acquirer.
So that's the acquirer, which makes sense. I mean, normally we think if someone is trading something, so it's going to be the one who is getting is going to give, right? But he gives like a funny, complicated reason. Denichale lekona, delihavi makne kona. It's pleasing, it's good for the acquirer that the giver should acquire. Kihechi deligmar velikni le. In order that he should conclude and be makne to him.
Meaning, because
it's the. Right. So now he's saying he's happy for the makne to be kona his shoe, so to speak, in order that the makne will conclude and give.
You're winning over his career status.
Okay, so but what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, it shows you that what? And then Levi says a stranger thing. At least Rav, it has the form that would make sense to us. Give to receive, right? But Levi says no. It's the kli of the makne. It's the kli of the makne himself. Meaning if I want to give you something, I'll give you a present. I'll give you a shoe. And my giving you the shoe will be the way you acquire the object I want to give you. Let's say I have something in a warehouse locked up, and I want you to own it.
Or Karka.
And I want you to own it. So you can't go and take it because it's in a remote location, right? And I want you to have it. So I'll give you my shoe, and when you acquire the shoe, you acquire the object. Okay?
Right, it's kind of like...
So the Gemara is troubled by Levi, right? So the Gemara is troubled by Levi. Gemara says, Omale Rav Huna mi discarta le Rava Ula Levi de Omar Bikalev Shalmakne. So let's analyze Levi. Meaning I want to give you, let's say like Aaron says, I want to give you Karka. Let's say the Karka is 1,000 miles away from here. So I want you to acquire the Karka. But you can't go and do Chazaka on it or something like that. So I give it to you with the Kinyan Chalipin. But according to Levi, I, the one who's giving it to you, will give you something else. I'll give you my shoe. Okay? So he says, Ula Levi, Damar B'Kelev Shel Makne HaKakoni Ara Agav Glima. So it's going to come out that you're acquiring the land in what's called the Kinyan Agav, right, through a shirt. Hanosin Karka L'Chaveiro B'Kinyan Sudar. So it's called, Chalipin is referred to generally as a Kinyan Sudar, because that's basically what you usually give. You have a little piece of, a little handkerchief, everyone had a little handkerchief, and that was very easy to just give over for a moment, and that would be a Kinyan. Okay. So he said like this, the one who wants to give Karka to his friend, B'kinyan Sudar, and the Makabel Matana is going to be Moshech the Sudar Miyad HaNosein. So he'll take the Sudar from the hand of the giver, V'nikne lo HaKarka im HaSudar, V'meshichas HaSudar shenikne v'meshicha. So how do you acquire Metaltalin? Just by Meshicha, by holding it, Hagbah, Meshicha, whatever it is. Right? So it comes out that by taking the Sudar, he will be acquiring along with it the land. So the land will be like piggybacked on the Sudar. Okay? So he says, but that violates the principle that we have. Im kein, avile nechosim sheyesh len achrayas, niknin im nechosim sheyen len achrayas. Von nipchotna, nechosim sheyen len achrayas, niknin im nechosim sheyesh len achrayas. We say the other way. We say that Karka, when you transfer Karka, you transfer all the metaltalin that are on the Karka. Or it doesn't even have to be on the Karka necessarily. But you can transfer metaltalin via the Kinyan Karka. But we don't say the other way. We don't say you can transfer Karka via metaltalin. So according to Levi, that's what's essentially happening, the Gemara is saying. That's what Rav Huna said. They asked Rav. He said, I don't understand Levi's pshat. According to Levi, it sounds like he's saying the way a Kinyan Sudar works is I will attach the Karka to the Sudar, and the Kinyan of the Karka will drag with it the Kinyan of the Sudar. But we know that Karka is never bottled to the Metaltalin. On the contrary, Metaltalin is sort of could be bottled to the Karka.
What exactly is...
So the Gemara says... Yeah, Omalei, I have a Levi Hocho, have a Mapik La Apoch, Pulsi Denura. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Sparks of fire. Yeah. So in other words, this is a terrible accusation. To accuse Levi of this kind of a bad svara, to think that Levi held that the Karka is going to be piggybacked on the Kinyan Meshicha of the Suda. In other words, he was essentially thinking of Kinyan Sudar as like a Matana Sudar, that you attach other objects that are Nigrar Acher the Kinyan, Acher the Sudar itself. But it's just the Meshichas Sudar. It's just the Meshicha and the Sudar. So, yeah, the Pulse of the Nura. Misavat Glima Makna Leba Misavat Glima Makna Le. Do you think he held that he's makna to him the glima, right? And therefore, and thereby the karka is nigra acha the glima. No, that's not right. Bahi hano dekor makabel mine gomar v'achnile. On the contrary. On the contrary.
Meaning when he receives the glima, he's not really getting the glima.
He's not getting the glima, and then the glima is attached to the, and attached to the glima is the karka. He's not going to unwrap the glima and find there's karka inside the glima. What happens? What happens is like this. When I give you the glima, I get joy in return for that. Because you accepted my present. And in exchange for that hano, that you accepted my present, I will give to you the karka. Right? Behahi hano dekor mekabel mine, the hano that you accepted my glima, right? Gomar v'aknile. I, the giver, will further be makna to you. But it's not a matana's glima with karka. It's a matana, there's a joy of giving, right? Not to say that there is a certain... is a certain hana that a person gets to be acknowledged and appreciated for what he gives. And that appreciation that he receives, he will be gomer makni. Let's see Rashi. Mi sovrat le agav. Why did you take out the oma? Mi sovrat... Deis, okay. Deis le agav. Who do you think he means as agav? Shal yide mashicha sakli shenikne lo v'mashicha yakne lo akarko emakli? Ein elu ela kichal eino, ein elu ela kichalipin. What's that?
Ein elu?
Ein elu ela. You don't have the ela?
Oh, no, I'm just wondering.
Oh. Ein... how do you write the choices here? Ki ilu ze moser lo chefetz acher tachas karka. It is a chalipin. Because when I give you the sudar, there is chalipin involved. It's not a present of the sudar with other things attached to it. And it's not all mitzad ha, it's not mitzad ha kone, that with the mashicha of one thing, he can be kone other things. There really is a switch. How is there a switch? In order for there to be a switch, the giver has to receive. Here, the giver is just giving more. Right? No. He says, Ela kechalipin ki ilu ze moser lo chefetz acher tachas karka. It's really as if the recipient is giving something in exchange for the karka. Umahu misi raso. What is the one who receives the sudar giving? Hanoas kabalaso mimenu. He is giving the pleasure of accepting the present from him. Shechoshvo lekabel mimenu matano. This is something that this concept I think is kind of foreign to the average American, right? The idea of only accepting a present from someone who's choshev to you, right? But he says, Noach lo, he's happy from that. Ki ilu nosein lo ze hakona matona rabba. Vigomar nosein umakne lo karka. Yep. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch. Levi's idea is a little bit of a stretch. But, and why does he prefer that way? Where does he see such an idea? Why isn't it just the ordinary thing like Rav? I mean, why would you... Oh, it's true. Look, bottom line, Levi is still very difficult. Because if Levi still insists that there's an exchange, so just exchange the sudar. Like Rav. I mean, if he agrees that there's such a thing as an exchange of it. The king and sudar is basically a swap. So why contrive a whole this whole funny notion of the swap being based on the receipt on the hanor that you receive from giving the sudar? Just give the sudar and give the karka in exchange. Well, why would he? It's one thing if he's gonna. That's what Rav Huna thought. He said, "Look, why is Levi arguing with Rav? If he viewed it as an exchange, so he would agree with Rav. So he would say the receiver must be the giver. The one who's going to get must give. That's an exchange. So that's why he thought, okay, he must be learning it's not an exchange. It's just a matana via the sudar. So then Rava got angry at him. He said, what are you talking about? Of course it's an exchange. But the exchange is the goodwill that he feels from the fact that he receives it. So just, if you're going to do an exchange anyway, just make this exchange on the sudar itself. Why insist that it's an exchange and create some intangible thing that he's receiving? Okay. So we have to go a little further in the sugi, but that's the question. Okay. Yeah, so just tell you, I'm just the kitzer. I mean, is it, you know, the Reb Chaim held that the ikar of a kinyan sudar is different than a normal kinyan. Okay. He held that it's a different kind of a kinyan. Basically, what's the difference? That in a regular kinyan, there is a there's a maisa kinyan. There's a defined maisa kinyan. That the Mashiach is Kona, I know it's the Lokeach is going to be doing a Maisa that is going to be that's going to be Kona. He'll either do Mashiach, he'll do Agbo, he can do Chazaka, right? And the Gemiras Das of the seller is basically positioning the object for the Kinyan of the buyer. In other words, whenever you have kinyanim, you need to have two things, like I said before. You need to have the willingness of the parties, right? There has to be a meeting of the minds on what shall occur. And it should be, there's usually some inducement for that, right? And then you need some maisa to effectuate that. Correct? If you don't have the gemiras das, then the maisa is basically gneva. And if you do the Maisa, and if you have Gemir's Das without the Maisa, that's just good wishes. That's just wishes. Right? So you need to have a Gemir's Das, and then a Maisa that effectuates it. That's the normal way a Kinyan works. Okay. But Baruch Chaim held that a Kinyan of Chalipin is essentially purely Gemir's Das. You just need a Maisa Mochiach on the Gemiras Das. But you're not really engaging the object. Now, the regular Mechira, you have to pick up the object that you're buying. Over here, you pick up the Sudar, and something else is over here, the object that's being bought is not present. It's not really subject to, it's not really technically within the transaction. Right. Therefore, he held it's essentially we have to concretize the Gemir's Das. We have to just do a Maisa Mochiach that the Gemir's Das is not Dvar Ba'alma. There are certain Kinyanim that you don't need any, that Gemir's Das is enough. Like the Gemara says, when at the Tanayim, when the Chosim's parents and the Kala's parents discuss what they're going to be obligated in, that's a Dover Yadua, that what they say they mean, and you don't need a Kinyan. Dvarim. Even the Dvarim is Kona. So you need to have a Gemir's Das.
But generally speaking, it needs to be followed through with a Maisa of the Das itself. So normally the Maisa Kinyan is going to fulfill it. But Chalipin is a different kind of a thing. You can just demonstrate and be Mekayim the Das itself. That's why he held it's a different kind, it's like a different kind of a kinyan. Okay. All right, so with that in mind, we'll see if we can work through the rest of this Gemara. We hold it's the suitor of the Kona. So, for instance, at a wedding, so the Ksuba says that the Edom say the Kanina, right? The Gemara says in the bottom there, that's the Lashon. The Kanina, the Mona de Kosher le Miknayde, right? That so what happens at a Chasana, you'll see the now it's the Messiah Kedushin, but really it should be the Edom. The Edom give to the Chasan a Suda. And when he and his and they're giving it to him on behalf of the Kala, essentially. And when he receives the Sudar as the recipient, he is Goma Umakne, his obligations of the Ksuba to the Kala.
Right, so he doesn't have to do anything with the Kala in terms of getting the Ksuba over. Or he does it under the Chuppah. Like he actually.
So that's a separate thing. Why do we do the Kinyan? The Kinyan of the. We try to make a Kinyan also, a separate Kinyan. Just
in case. Would be enough.
I mean, essentially giving the Ksuba is enough, but we do a Kinyan also, a Kinyan on it. So if he's Mechayev himself right from then. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is, if you want to do a Kinyan Sudar, so we hold like Rav.
Okay,
that so, the it just takes the standard form of the switch. That it's the object for the object. But the point is like this. If you look, what I'm trying to impress upon you is, even if you look at the Lashon of Rav, he doesn't say it's simply a switch for a switch either. Right? He doesn't say it's simply a switch for a switch. He doesn't say it's simply a switch. He says when he's happy to give it to him so that he will be Gomer Umakni back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That supports the Reb Chaim's way of looking at it. You'll see. I think the Rimagash has something on that also.
Just to go.